Colossians chapter 2, if you'll notice with me, verse 9 through verse 15. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy and love, allowing us once again to be able to assemble together as a New Testament Baptist Church. We know what a privilege it is, Lord, to be in thy presence. We pray tonight, Father, that as we come together, that you would cause us to look upon you and look upon your word. And that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and direct us and would enable us, Lord, to see what you would have us to see from this passage of Scripture. Father, we thank thee for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that went to Calvary. He went to Calvary's cross as our substitute and died there in our place. And we're thankful, Lord, that you sent the gospel to us and enabled us that we might believe, that we might trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We stand in need tonight of your presence and your power. And we pray, Father, tonight that you would enable us that we might exalt you, and that your name might be lifted up. And in turn, Lord, that our hearts would be made to rejoice and that we might praise you. We're thankful for not only saving us, but placing us in this church, teaching us some great, wonderful truths. And, oh Lord, then helping us and giving us the ability to put them into practice in our lives. We desire, Lord, to serve you in a way that would honor you and that would always honor your word. And we pray as a church that you'd help us, Lord, in these last days to propagate the gospel and also, Lord, to stand in defense of the gospel, the word of God. Help us, Lord, that we might be faithful to you in all things. We do ask now that on behalf of those here that are not saved, that it may please you tonight, Lord, to do a work of grace in their hearts. Enable them, Lord, that they might repent of their sins, that they might receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We know that you have a time allotted for this, and we pray that as the gospel goes forth, that this may be the very time that you have set aside and put forth for them to be saved. We know that you have appointed us a time of death, but you've also appointed us a time of salvation. And Lord, we're not going to miss either one of them. We're going to both be there at the appointed time that God has for it to come. Help us to be faithful, Lord, in proclaiming your word and bringing forth the gospel as a true witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now guide us and direct us and lead us. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. I want to preach on the subject tonight, complete in Jesus. Complete in Jesus. It is a known thing today that most religions exalt name. It's prevalent in the day in which that we live to exalt man. But I believe that true religion, as I spoke of this morning, is a religion that exalts God. And that God always is high and lifted up, and He always has preeminence in all things. Now, most religions today not only exalt man, but they picture what man has done. And they picture what man must do. But I believe the Word of God tells us and pictures what God has done. And the Word of God tells us what God has done and what He is doing and what He's going to do. And so we find that the religion of this world, as I said this morning, was not the religion that the Apostle Paul knew. Now that is after that he was born again on the road to Damascus. So as he gives us these words here in this, and of course some people are always talking about, well, you need this and you need that. But I'm a firm believer by the Word of God that all we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Scriptures make it very clear that we are complete in Him. Now you can't improve on that. You can't improve on that which is complete. Now there is, first of all, I'd like for us to think about some reasons for our being complete in Jesus Christ. And the reason is given to us in verse 9. For here's what it says. For in Him, that is in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now in Him, that is in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. And you notice He said bodily. The Godhead dwells in Christ as in a tabernacle. There are two places that I always refer to and I always look at when I'm noticing this. I go to the Gospel of John, and there in John chapter 1, and I always read verse 1 and verse 2. I don't believe there's better verses in the Bible that is an interpretation or explains what is given to us here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. And here's what they say. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so I always refer to these, and then I immediately go to that epistle of 1 John, and I again read verse 1 and 2 as I did in the Gospel of John 1. And in 1 John 1 and 2, and we're talking about here, the Godhead dwells in Christ as in a tabernacle. And here's what John said again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the Word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now what we have in the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the Lord Jesus Christ are all of the perfections of deity. Jesus Christ has every one of these perfections. One is eternity. God is an eternal being. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Amen. Now remember, we're complete in Him.
and think about these things, and then the immensity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the omnipresence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the omniscience of the Lord Jesus Christ. As these are all perfections of deity and attributes of God, they are also true of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there is the perfection of immutability, that he does not change. There is the perfection of self-existence, that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. In essence, what I believe that the Word of God is bringing to our attention there in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 9 down through verse 15 here is that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In essence here, there is not anyone that we can turn to that would be any more important or have any more significance than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that the Word of God declares that he holds absolute supremacy over all creation. Look in the first chapter of Colossians, and it's giving us an exhortation concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in the preceding verses, and then it says in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And I believe that the Word of God is giving us the fullness of the Godhead body in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said when he wrote in Hebrews chapter 1 and there in verse 2 through verse 4. He said, God at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And that was before that we had the recorded Word of God, the Word of God that was written. But he said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now how does God speak to us by his Son? He speaks to us through the Word of God. The Son is the Word of God, whom he hath, now notice, appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now look at this. Who being the brightness of his glory, that is the glory of God, and the express image of his person, that is God himself, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we see here, Paul is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ holds absolute supremacy over all creation and over all things. Now in him, we come to know the only true God. And the only way that you'll ever know the true God is in Jesus Christ. You often hear people talk about, well, I believe in God. Well, they believe that there's a supreme being. They believe that there is one that is in control of the universe, but to really know God in the way that you need to know God, you have to know him in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said this himself. He said in the 17th chapter of the book of John, and there in verse 3, he said, and this is life eternal. Now notice this. That they might know thee. Now who he's talking about is the people in verse 2. That he might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And I tell you, when you know one, you know the other. You cannot know Jesus Christ without knowing God, and you cannot know God without knowing Jesus Christ. God has designed it to be so. Now these are reasons that we're giving here for being complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the fullness, this fullness dwells in him bodily. The Word of God said that back in the first chapter of the book of John, and we need to see this, and in verse 14, here's what it says. In other words, the divine word became flesh and tabernacled among us. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The word of God became flesh and came and dwelt among us in a body. Look what he says here in John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory. And here he goes into this again. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Now how did God design this to be or to come about? Well, I believe when Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, he told in the fourth chapter, and there in the fourth verse of the fourth chapter, here's what he said. Now, we're talking about the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him body. We're talking about the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Now, and I prayed a while ago. I prayed that God does things on time. Now, God has a time to save people. And that when that time comes, he's going to save them. They ain't going to be short of that time or over. And it's going to happen. Amen. You don't have to worry about it not happening. You don't have to worry about them perishing. It's going to happen. It's never too late for them. Because God's always on time. He does everything on time. And I'm leading up to what the scripture says, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time has come, that just means at God's time. Amen. When God's purpose and God's plan and God's design for his Son, for the Word to become flesh and to dwell among us, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily for to be manifested. Says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Now here's how. Made of a woman, made under the law. Now the reason for this, and I believe that all of this has, that we are complete in Jesus Christ. The reason for this is in this bodily form, he suffered all of our ills. He suffered every temptation that we'll ever have to be tempted with or ever go through. He sat as a guest at tables. He was among mourners, and he died a human death in a body of flesh. And God designed for it to be so. Colossians chapter 1 again gives us this in verse 22 of Colossians 1, and it says this. In the body of his flesh through death. Now why? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And I believe here that God designed for him to come and the Word to become flesh and dwell among us. And the idea or the principle was to gain that great victory. And we find in the second chapter of Colossians, and notice with me there in that second chapter, and in verse 10, and ye are complete in him, now notice, which is the head of all principality and power. Now brother, I believe that that tells us something, that we are complete in him. And as he overcame, and he was far above principality and power, so has he given unto us the ability, and we have the ability to also overcome these things in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. Turn back a few pages to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to notice of what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20 down through verse 23. Now what he's talking about here, well, the context of this is verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Now we're talking about you are complete in him. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Notice, according to the working of his mighty power.
Amen.
Now here it is. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Brother, I believe that Paul was bringing this out, that he was far above principality and power, and he overcame principality and power. But one of the great and the grand things and the things that we are complete in him is that he now is in the presence of God for us. That's why he's there. He's there for us. The very purpose of him being there at the right hand of the Father. And Paul said this when he wrote in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 24 he said, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now remember, you are complete in him. And he's in the presence of God for us. That's why he's there. That's the purpose of him being there, is he's there in the presence of God for us on our behalf. This thing goes all the way. It takes it all the way. Now, one of the grand and glorious things is that that's where he is now, but one day we shall see him bodily. He is going to come for us, and even that is part of being complete in him. And I believe the fulfillment of this completeness, as he says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and verse 21, for our conversation is in heaven. Now brethren, I believe we ought to talk more about heaven.
Amen.
I believe we ought to live like we're going now. And from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, ye are complete in him. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And I'll tell you, heaven's getting sweeter every day.
Amen.
To me, it is. Heaven's getting sweeter every day. But then in 1 John chapter 3, and in verse 1, through 3 of 1 John 3, he says this. And we're talking about ye are complete in him, that is, in Jesus Christ. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, the Father, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. And this is a great and a grand and a glorious truth to know. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then, no light matter, he says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So we see now that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily as he tabernacled and came among us, but the fullness of the Godhead still dwells in him bodily at this present time, because he is the Lamb in the midst of the throne. Heaven for us is where he is. Now that's what heaven is to us. What's heaven to me and you? It's where Christ is. Now I know the earthly ties and fleshly ties of this life causes us to realize and to know that there's some other people there that we've known in this life, and God has given us the privilege to know that we have loved in this life. But the whole thing about a heaven is that where Christ is. Who is our life? The Lord Jesus Christ. So heaven for us is to be where He is and to see Him as He is. And brother, that's heaven will, it won't be surely worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 17 and verse 24 says this. Father, I will that they also, here's this group of people again, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Now Jesus said that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And it's more than we can take right now. Sometimes it's just about more than I can stand. I don't mean that in the wrong manner, in the wrong way. I mean that in the right way. So what we recognize, these are some of the reasons. Now we find the fullness of Godhead dwells in Him bodily. When He came, the Word became flesh, and it's still the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily, even at in the presence of Almighty God. And we need to recognize and know this great truth. Now the second thing that I want us to think about is Christ's fullness does not simply dwell in Him, terminating in Himself. Now it does dwell in Him, but it does not simply dwell in Him and terminate in Himself. Because why would He wrote what He wrote there in Colossians chapter 2 and there in verse 10? Now let's look at that scripture again. We read verse 9 there, and it says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now look. And ye are complete in Him. So we find that this fullness does not terminate and will not just remain in Him, but it says, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now I believe the Bible talks about man's emptiness and man's need. And truly, man of himself, man without Christ is empty. Jesus said this Himself. He said in the 15th chapter of the book of John, and He said in verse 5, He said of Himself, He said, I am the vine. And He said, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Now look, for without me, you can do nothing. So I'm so thankful that we find that the fullness of the Godhead not only dwells in Him, but He dwells in us. And it is because that we're in Him that we are enabled to do things that would have been impossible for us to do. Christ's fullness is an active outflowing fullness toward us to make us complete in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote and give us an insight on this there again in Ephesians 1 in verse 23. He said, talking about church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And so we see that Christ's fullness is an active, outflowing fullness to make us complete in Him. Look at Ephesians 3 and there in verse 19. He just got through saying in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now here's some of this fullness. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I believe that this is an extension to each of us. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 over on the next page. And look with me from verse 8 down through verse 13. And I believe this is applicable or applies to this. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now notice this fullness being extended or given. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heavens, that he might fill all things. Now look what he then goes right into. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What is this? That this is Christ's fullness that is active, that's flowing out to make you complete in Him. Amen. Now look, here we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this fullness does not just simply dwell in Him and stay there or terminate in Him. This fullness is extended out to ye are complete in Him. That is, as born again believers, as children of the Lord Jesus Christ and of Almighty God. Listen to what that was said in a scripture that we read earlier. We read the first part of this in John 1:14, and he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 16, and he said, and of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. And so, brethren, I believe whoever wrote the song, Christ is All I Need, hit the nail on the head. Because Christ is all I need, and Christ is all you need. Christ is all that anyone needs. Now you've got to remember, our fullness is not in ourselves, but our fullness is in Christ. You cannot obtain nothing from Him till in Christ. Now I know in the mind, purpose, plan of God, we're in Christ from eternity. I know that. But you didn't know it, and I didn't know it either until God saved us by His marvelous grace, until we were born again. We couldn't even begin to visualize or to begin to even think about receiving the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could sort of say that we're real full tonight. 1 John chapter 5, and there in verse 20, listen to what John says. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. Now that's part of this, we are complete in Him. That we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, and explained it, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and He says this is eternal life. And so I believe that we see here that it is in Him that we receive the fullness of Christ. In Him we have life. Did not He say also in the 11th verse of that same chapter, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And so we are a recipient of this eternal life because that we are in Christ. Does not the Word of God talk about in Him are we chosen unto salvation in Ephesians 1:4. Does the Word of God not say, in Him we receive grace? John 1:16. Did not in our texts or in our passage of Scripture in Colossians? Did not we read, or cannot we read in Colossians 1 and there in verse 18 where it says, "And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And so we see that in him that we have received eternal life, and that we have received these things. Now Christ in his fullness, as he said here in Colossians 2:10, "Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." In his fullness, he is the head of his church. He is the head over kings. He's the head over princes. He's the head over potentates. He's head over angels, often called principalities and powers. And I thought as I went on down through here, and as I read in this passage of Scripture, some things that he has done for us. Now notice some things that he's done for us in verse 11. "In whom also ye are circumcised." Now explain this. With the circumcision made without hands, the heart, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. But then there's another thing that he has done for us. Verse 12. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him." Now here's, this strikes me strong right here. "Through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Now I realize it was the operation of God raising him from the dead. But also this through faith is also the operation of God that is in this verse of Scripture. So these are some of the things that he has done for us. And also by him being quickened, verse 13. "And ye being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses or transgressions." And then look at what he did in 14 and 15. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." And notice this. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And I believe, brethren, that we ought to rejoice tonight if we are saved by the grace of God. And I believe that we ought not to exalt ourselves, and we ought not to exalt man, but we ought to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are complete in him. And so, what a great truth. Paul just warned, and a lot of people are taken in by this. Look in Colossians 2 again. Look what he warned them of in the preceding verse, the verse right before 19. I'm more and more saddened by any time anybody in our church to take the word of a man over the word of God. I am. I'm saddened about that. That's not the way it's to be. And you'll never prosper that way. You'll never be in the will of God. Now what he warned them about here is in verse 8, Colossians 2:8. "Be well aware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." That is, not after the word of God. Bless your hearts, always take God's word over man's word anytime. Amen. Even though you can't visualize, even though you can't reason it out, receive it by faith. Believe it by faith. Practice it by faith. That's the way that the word of God is designed. It's not designed to reason it out, but it's designed to receive it by faith. And then he warned about that. And then he admonishes this great message when he preached here in these two verses. And this is my conclusion, verse 9 and 10. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now notice this. And I underline this. and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So my sermon and subject is complete in Jesus.
Amen.
Complete in him. I'm so thankful that I am in Christ. Your greatest need tonight here is to receive Jesus Christ. The only way that you'll ever be able to honor God, to live for God, is by receiving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God designed it to be so, and God designed it to be that way.